kids who can't read, and people like that, they're led by the cat kids. This is good. Better. My phone. Well, if there was interest, but there's still some life from investment, it would be nice to have kids. There was not, so it was... Well, can talk about that. You got busy enough, no? Hey, we have that. Okay. Thank you very much. You've called the department today to present to us the budget for school. For 2013. You are also doing that in the very top of the strategic plan that we have with the foundation. And we are preparing to go for our budget for today, as we say, for 2020. We now give the opportunity to the council.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. We have a good compliment of our service to the chair. We seek the invitation of the Department of Health for the opportunity to present the budget for 2013-14. And in our presentation, Chairperson, we will start by focusing on those performance indicators as outlined in the estimated national expenditure. Which we will be benchmarked, and according to which we will have to align our budget accordingly. We will outline the particulars of the budget, explaining to which extent our budget will contain issues of individual operational and capital expenditure, to which extent it will also include transfers and other forms of subsidies and external funding, also including the various grants that the department manages. Then we will specifically highlight within the various programs as put by Treasury in the department, the particular aligned objectives and how we will be budgeting for achieving those objectives. We will then conclude by outlining the medium-term budget itself and how we will manage it according to the closing of this financial year and also within the 2-year loan program of government. So, to start off with the selected performance indicators, the House is quite informed that within the government's summary, the ECS national expenditure, this department focuses primarily on FY6, which is intention to provide an efficient, comprehensive, and responsive infrastructure network. Within the transport facility. Then we move to slide 3. We have highlighted certain of the most prominent indicators which we would like to bring to the attention of the committee. To start off, we will have the analysis of the kilometers of secondary road metrics that are in poor and very poor condition. This is a reflection of the past history, and then also the current and the projection, how we would like to limit that particular number. Just then on the number of average weekday bus rapid transit passengers that we would like to have increased over the period that's in front of us. Then firstly we've got the Rea Vaya in Johannesburg, and then of course also my city in Cape Town. And eventually our projection will go on to 150,000 and 112,000 respectively. And then 430, 40, 50 and 60, nearly double the anticipated contribution for 2013. With regard to the implementation of the National Household Travel Survey, quite an important exercise for us in order to have an analysis done in order to also one of the big projects within the transport department is the establishment of a single transport economic regulator. And while this project has been thoroughly researched and while consultants within the industry, we are now in the position we could actually follow up on our workflow plan and our inspection report to where we can now start and draft in our position paper in this regard. The actual establishment of such a regulator will have to be considered from a legal perspective, operationally and also from the service delivery point of view, with the economic regulatory fraternity in the country as well. So this is a quite a comprehensive project, but it is well managed within the various clusters in government, and it has been recorded considerably within the private sector as well. So this with regard to the development of the rail transport policy, also a very important direction to be provided on the department. We hope to have this particular white paper published and adopted within this financial. Then we continue to the development of the National Airport Development Plan, also within the National Legislative Framework. This is a very important document to establish the intent to go forward, not only medium but also long term. And lastly, there is a number of municipal and provincial transport regulatory entities established per year to indicate the level of history. And then, in particular, the three established through 12-13 financial year, two for 13-14, two for 14-15, and only one for 15-16. That's also in line with the regulatory legislative framework. So, when we move on to slide 5, we will go into the more particular focus areas in the budget, and I would like to move over to our CFO to continue from here. After which I will, within the different modes, give over to the appropriate Deputy Director General that will lead out on the specifics of the matter.
Thank you, Chairperson. This slide essentially indicates how our budget supports the National Development Plan, which emphasizes the necessity of sound economic infrastructure as a precondition for economic growth. This also links into saying that transport is the heartbeat of the economic and social development. There were major recommendations made in the National Development Plan, the first being improving public transport planning and integrating that public transport planning with spatial planning, and our own focus in this regard is via the Public Transport Infrastructure Grant and the Public Transport Network Operations Grant. The Public Transport Infrastructure Grant is paid to municipalities to improve its public transport infrastructure to facilitate improved public transport. And the Public Transport Network Operations Grant is a new grant introduced in the medium term, which goes hand in hand with the infrastructure grant, but it does allow for some operational expenditure to support the infrastructure grant. How it supports the National Development Plan is because this grant ensures that emphasis is placed on networks, public transport networks rather than public transport modes, and the planning for public transport is improved in the cities who are supported by the public transport operations, infrastructure and network operations grant. The emphasis on asset management is very, very clear and very strongly supported in our provincial roads maintenance grant, as well as the rural road asset management system grant. The Division of Revenue Act conditions require provinces to spend its money via that they receive via the provincial road maintenance grant using proper asset management systems and publishing the expenditure and the projects on which they spend the money on an asset management system. The grant, the rural road asset management systems grant, is specifically municipality to develop asset management system. The third recommendation of the National Development Plan is to make institutional arrangements to ensure safe, reliable and affordable public transport, and the major objectives in public transport are improving access and reliability, ensuring integrated and optimized public transport services both in cities and in metropolitan areas, support that recommendation as well as the establishment of the National Public Transport Regulator. Renewing the commuter rail fleet, obviously we have secured, as you know, a 10-year period, 40 billion rand over 10 years, the 40 billion will grow with inflation, to renew the commuter fleet and peripheral infrastructure and services. The major expenditure of the department, if one looks at all the transfers, the money that we hand out, the focus in the medium term will be on the rail infrastructure as well as public transport infrastructure. And all of the infrastructure related expenditure we pay over to the South African National Road Agency for road, the provincial road maintenance grant, the rural road asset management grant, passenger rail agency, public transport operations grant, public transport infrastructure grant, and the public transport network operations grant. All of these transfers relate to infrastructure and make up 96.1% of our total budget over the medium term. These are the highlights, just high level highlights. We go into the various programs, and these are just the major objectives of the programs over the medium term.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have prepared to provide the various CDGs then to outline accordingly how they will move these matters. So on behalf of Mr. Bond, I think we request the roundup to take to program two integrated transport plans.
Thanks, good evening. I'll take you through what from the integrated transport plan we're looking to do. The first one is in trying to facilitate multimodal transport. One of the interfaces and one of the key issues that we want to achieve in the department through, of course, our master plan is make sure that learning is not singular, learning is not isolated, but rather seeks to interface and talk to others in the integration of learning. One of the things we want to do to enable us to do that is really to have a database for the community that helps us to make the smart decision we have to and what to make to come first to do planning, but also to help make the necessary investment that would aid and be the means for which we implement planning. So database and data bank becomes key for us. The second one is developing an integrated transport planning draft. You'll appreciate that in the past year there are a number of developments. The CFO of the CG talked about the National Development Plan. This then gives broad types of planning. Of course, it's not a task, but it's a plan, it's a framework. But secondly, you have departments like rural development, a number of departments talking about spatial planning as well as the just planning in general, a number of pieces of development plans. So we sought to link with those and say, from a transport perspective, how do we begin coming up and looking at the work that we have across government to then come up with this, what we then term integrated transport. Because we appreciate that transport being a multifaceted sector, you want to make sure that special needs do not meet what the other departments are doing. So that's what we want to do. We see ourselves strength is provisioned by end of by 2016. Beginning to do what the team in highlight the same way. Now that the settlement is done, now the basis for developing the future should support the and then lastly is that we want to establish another transport system for us. These are forums for intercontinental improving intercontinental relations. A number of times we need to this we've been asked about the role that transport is to play in important decisions at both local and provincial. And then we have to often organize the state of transport. Our view that it becomes impossible to influence given the nature of the corporate function of the transport function, the transport portfolio across all of Ghana. So that's what we want to do. And we think this structure across all our provinces, we set up all structures across our provinces. We now have a secretariat that's functioning. But we want those outcomes to begin helping us on a number of we want to, there's a number of other objectives in trying to achieve both departmental objectives as well as government objectives. The other objective, of course, is how we deal with the issue of our socio-economic challenges that affect us in the transport, the local transport. With a unit that's busy developing a number of indicators, socio-economic. The socio-economic analysis and how we then begin modeling and how we then model the impact of transport and how transport can begin playing a role. One of the key things is always discussing Matawaka with all the provinces, we then have pressure telling us what it is that we want to see as our indicator for the transport trend. But you can't, outside of the transport trend, begin to give us indicators. The indicators that we have and need to be informed by what we have determined. The issue around the cross-border and cross-border system, I'm sure there's an appreciation that a number of challenges we have that we have in cross-border are twofold. The one and your physical infrastructure, but by and large, and your non-physical barriers, that generally give us a challenge in different issues around particular trade. Your non-physical things issues around kind of corruption, inefficiency, but physical, I mean, you appreciate the honorable member has to talk about the past. When a party constructed our borders, they were not meant to move goods and people. They were a sequential factor. And we find that when you look at our borders, it's not 99.9% of them are natural rivers. It's an indication of the state at the time. And therefore the issue is that the ability for us to move both people and goods becomes a challenge. And we then have those types of physical infrastructure. Those are the things that we've been dealing with. To an extent, we even suggested that sideline from our side, we believe needs to be the agency for the set of public works. Because sideline are an agency that tasked with making sure that movement on our road infrastructure becomes we don't want them to take part of the thing. But secondly, in the non-physical nature of the challenges we face in the border post, you'll appreciate there are 11 agencies now in our border post. And each one of those 11 agencies has a command structure independent of the person in charge of the border post. And our view is that transport in the city of Virginia is going to go use of the border post. We do not need necessarily to manage that was what we say, but there needs to be at some point a conversion of how the function at border post begin to help us deal with the issues of efficiency. So those are some of the things that we want them to do. And when we, in the year that ended this year, we developed what we call the trade optimization plan and how we begin optimizing the movement of trade in our border. And then one of the things we've done now as a South African exercise is then to focus on the South African market of border post. So that's one of the key questions. And in our view, it's one of the key questions. We've had interactions with staff and interactions with a whole host of others. And to be feeding these people in order to be CEOs. So they got that happening, and they got a lot of intellectuals and that's why I'm doing the show actually. But the last one is that we want to harmonize standards. Honorable Chatter said, our employment limit in the region is the lowest. That 9 times or 15 times. But in some other parts of the region, it even goes around the DRC. And the political challenge, majority of the groups that come to South Africa are overlooked because that's what it says, and we need to be in harmony. It's an exercise that now will be finished by the end of the intensive behavior for what writers already started. How do we, as a region, begin harmonizing our standards? Because this is one of another three inefficiencies that impedes the ability of us and the region in treating the standards. And then the last two chapters and the honorable member of the group is that we are now wanting to come up and propose real and serious improved technology to deal with digital environment. And I'm sure many of us know that the world we live in is finite. And in how we deal with the finite nature of the world we live in, we have to protect it. The transport we as a sector are the second biggest emitter after energy. And how do we make sure that we make our contribution, making sure we reduce the current emissions? The team is coming up, we are now doing at least a number of studies. We first modeled what we then call the greenhouse gas emission index. Just take a stock, empty stock, of what the nature of the emissions that are happening in a number of key countries. A lot of them said that let's take the first tier, the one that we can see. But secondly, now what we move on, which is what I have to do, is to look at the cycle of nature of the issue. Because sometimes we may end up double counting, but there are activities that happen on the energy side that may have an impact on transport industry as much as they have a transport industry impact on energy. And therefore, trying to avoid the issue of double counting, we then are saying, let's go further now and say, let's look at the tier 2, but looking at the tier 2, let's also seek ways and means of how we deal with issues around energy consumption, because that's another issue. And then lastly, chapters and the honorable member, is that in us wanting to dismark in how we plan. I'm sure you remember we published in 2008 what we call the National Household Transport Plan. We are now doing the second update, which should have come much earlier. But because there was sent up last year, and majority of the data we use are data set standard of sent up. We know sent up was finished in October. Pilot alongside that, and now that is done, both pilots have been done, the team now is finalizing the work of the National Household Transport. That's one of the works that we use to measure and deal with issues of travel patterns we should have, particularly people from public transport in place. If they actually JTMX should be is responsible for revenue. In helping practice to plan which corridors and which areas we need to focus on. So that our infrastructure investment, general rules that are for public use, as much as the federal policy, as much. And then also, that's the last work that we are doing. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you so much. Okay. In the following slide, just an indication of what we will be focusing on in the meeting. you'd appreciate that transport is a number of economic sectors. We are not saying just for politics, one and but not missing the point around how we can use concrete to provide a number of issues around safety, issues around access. But secondly, is that the master planning framework, special one I talked about earlier, about that informing the transport. The national policy framework is almost complete. It was follow up from the work that we did on the national or the corridor. It's a follow up, but so we're almost done, and this gives us an idea of where key economic activities are in the nature of the corridor and location of hub. And now we're therefore beginning to have the space to launch economic and work in the then, of course, update of the national data base, and then the completion of the foundation of the national office of travel. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Banana. We will move then to the right council for the acting DG earlier.
Honourable members, essentially the first block, the first yellow block that is shown there is the modernisation and the upgrade process that will be undertaken at Scarborough. And that concludes the 7.4 billion capital expenditure for Scarborough for 2014. It focuses on 10 of the 21 8 corridors that we've tried in the rail plan and essentially keeps the rolling stock in the water until the new rolling stock arrives. And we'll be spending 2.1 billion on the definition of the rolling stock. We're going to do 450 coaches. We'll be upgrading signaling, spending another 814 million euros on signaling. And then we'll increase line capacity, specifically in terms of the line capacity, the engine transport, as well as electricity. We'll be spending another 250 million euros. And those figures is essentially the figures which we presented in the strategic transition that we've had in the portfolio committee. The second block is to allow that. So the first block is that the capital expenditures will happen in the past. The second block focuses on the operational side, and we have in the previous financial year concluded a service level agreement, which in this financial year we've got a signed CASA. The intention of this service level agreement is to own on to service provision. We look at functionality of train, cancellation of train, and get that into a document which we call a service level agreement. That's not the one in place when Metro Rail was founded and the SRCC was in the department to have a service level agreement in place again. And then for the Metro, which has the capacity to sign the service level agreement, to take their portion of the service level agreement and sign the service level agreement as far off in terms of the provision of rail services within the metro. And obviously, this alignment with the service level agreement doesn't integrate the transport plan within the metro. The first block there is the white paper process, which the acting DG has spoken about. We have concluded the green paper. We are currently busy with intergovernmental consultation, national strategy, Department of Public Enterprise, CASA, Transnet, the ISR. We've taken that process far, and we are at the point of launching the, or bringing the green paper to the portfolio which is presenting here, taking it forward into a white paper by March 2012. From the white paper, we'll follow the legislation, which will be the Rail Act, and the intention of that white paper will then be to increase freight image on the commuter side and obviously reduce logistical costs on the freight side. So that's just some of the policy objectives, primary policy objectives within the rail policy document. The last block there is the whole issue of rail safety within the rail environment. We are going to do a gap analysis in terms of rail safety within this environment, which we presented at the strategic session. And the intention is obviously to reduce the amount of incidents and accidents in occurrence that we have in the rail sector. To look at what is the current legislation, what is in place, is the gas looking at legislation, and how do you address it? But essentially, that is the work that we'll be doing under the safety code. Go to the next slide. And I'm just going to focus on the grey box at the bottom. The issue mentioned itself is the petition for what was on the previous slide. The only other issue there is the acquisition of the legal owner spot. We filed this process and we want to conclude by June, July in terms of the financial close. And as indicated, we want the first set of new claim sets to arrive in the last quarter of 2014-15. In terms of the grey block, we will be concluding a feasibility study on the Molossus Corridor. It's a PPP registered project. It follows the life cycle of the PPP project. And by March 2014, we want to be ready to submit a treasury approval one. So that's from the Molossus. On the development of the rail policy and hack, I've covered that. The impact will be launched in this financial year. What we conclude on the white paper by the end of the financial year, and then start drafting the act in 2014-15. Yeah, the last group is the establishment of interim rail economic regulatory capacity. That's aligned with Ilana's presentation. The intention is to create a regulatory capacity within the department. It will be non-statutory. In terms of an agreement between the Minister of Public Enterprise and the Minister of Transport, for us to start looking at those specific regulatory issues that we have to address in the interim. We will, once the single class economic regulator is established, we will swap into the single class economic regulator, and effectively the interim regulator will inform the rail regulatory capacity of the single class economic regulator.
Thank you. perception that the asset management in the whole country is different, is different by municipality to municipality. Other municipalities don't have the capacity. So we are assisting them to bring them up to speed to the capacity to get a correct data for our agriculture so that we can budget properly and not get the food from the seed. So that's what we are doing there, assisting those folks to grow the municipalities and grow better practice in terms of capacity. We want to improve the road access and mobility by assisting those 21 districts and municipalities in developing the non-motorized transport transport in our city. This one here, the focus is more on those presidential nodes that were identified some time back in terms of the urban mobility strategy, in making sure that the kids can go to school and using bicycles and stuff like that. That's where everything is housed under non-motorized transport. And also looking at developing tests and guides for non-motorized transport as like monitoring the implementation of 2040. This one talks to the issues of the non-motorized infrastructure design. That is to say, when you build a road infrastructure, you need to look at user friendliness of the road itself. For non-motorized transport like cycling, create the access and the infrastructure that would be catering for that, and separate traffic vehicles from pedestrian traffic. That is what we are doing here, more on the road safety side. And support the medium development goals to reduce accidents and incidents on our roads. Reducing the 2011 figure of 14,000 people dying per annum by 50% in 2020. This is what we wanted to aim at doing. And there are problems that we are busy with to address this type of challenge. It's kind of behavior and attitude. That is what we want to address there. So that is part of our road safety strategy and progress. So the major expenditure will go to over the medium term with the transferring of funds to Sandra and provinces. As we know that Sandra will become a transferring agent to Sandra and become our agent in terms of the implementation of the road infrastructure and their upgrade. And also the provinces for capital investment and road maintenance to provide a reliable road network to reduce the kilometers of secondary strategic network in poor to very poor conditions, and to monitor the implementation of identified protocols in fishing. So here we are saying that the harbor protocol is very closely monitored, and we what's left now we say is to make sure that we walk, we go to the provinces, and ensure that these budgets that they are getting are spent by other than transferring agents, and the money that are spent where they are supposed to be in terms of their business debt. That is what we are talking about here. The Capital Road West of Sandra has an agency, as you can see, that is the cost in 2014-2015. And in 2015-2016, that is 736 million rand. As a result of agents including 2.075 kilometers of additional roads from Eastern Cape and 1,441 kilometers from the northwest to the national road network. So these are the programs that have come forward, Honorable Chair. In fact, they want to surrender this kind of kilometers to Sandra for their maintenance or rehabilitation and management. So this kind of funding as well is going to be addressing those kind of funding. And then we look at the major expenditures projected here. The provision of the driving license instruction to high schools to train 2012 in 50 students in driving skills by end of 2013 and 14. Here we want you to say, let us get a new generation of drivers. That's what we want you to say here. In other words, when you are at a matric level, you must say, get your matric certificate and get your driver's license, or at least your learner's license. When we go to the high school or secondary level, we want to say, well, for this partnership now going ahead, we started some pilot project in one of the provinces, where we are saying, when you are at a tertiary level, you must have your diploma, your degree, and you must have a driver's license. Not just a data license, we must have a driver's license, so that we must have a new generation of drivers that are not causing any danger on our autonomous driving. That is the main aim of this program here. And to regulate the driving school industry through a review of the driver training manual in order to reduce road changes. We have seen here that the K-57 there we need to review. Because they are used without data, we need to be realistic. And we are also cognizant that people are not getting tested when it's raining or at night in the dark. So we need to introduce those when we are revising the driving footing, the manual, that is the technical, the lecture, the material, the learning material at the driving school. So we are engaging with the driving school itself. And also to formalize them, regulate them, so that they don't become further out. We need to know who is the driving school and has properly registered that so that we can comment and prevent these kind of fraudulent exercises that are happening in the driving school. So there shall be no person who's going to be running away from a certain problem to another one in order to get an easy access to driving license. So we want to be uniform and consistent as a car. People must not run away from taking air because they are tired of this game and to run to another problem which I'm not going to mention because they know that the person can easily access to driving license. So that is what we are wanting to do. So it's going to be quite a thing. We want also to develop and manage the framework for maintaining the secondary road network by monitoring and evaluating the secondary roads in efficiency and effectively maintaining the road network. That is what we want to see. So changing the desire from less than 5%, less than 35% as it is now to less than 5% and 10%, that is what we want to achieve through this kind of intervention that we do at an international level. We know that for now, at present, we transfer back. They come and then we transfer back. They come to us and transfer back. I think we need to just to have a look at that. So that we, as a National Department of Transport, we can create a pool of technical expertise. That's where we need to have a program or project that are going to be out by the national, so that it's a learning curve for everybody else, and then we can replicate practices that is happening out there. So right now we just send to the provinces and send to standards. I think we need to review the whole setup in terms of the dollar allocation. That is what we want to achieve here. Because it's not it doesn't give us that kind of power and control to say you cannot do it like this. Although we can develop standards but to up to another level of government, which is the provincial government and municipalities to deal with this kind of issue. So I think this is what we want
to
thank you, Chair. I know I'm being protected. No, thank you very much. So I just wanted to emphasize on the issues of this kind of bills that the legislature needs to look at very, very carefully. The dollar allocation, ring fencing, and stuff like that. So that we, at the national level, we must not be just called for. And we must be having the mechanisms to make sure that when we go to the province or to the municipality, we must be having a say and also have this kind of pilot program at a national level for the period of time and identify the program that the road project so that we can teach everybody else in South Africa as to how, what are the good lessons that we then replicate throughout South Africa. That we need to report as the directive from the legislature to give guidance in terms of the dollar allocation so that we don't become a part of the interest. And to assess and assist programs to address specific kinds of resource network development, that is part of our next rollout, and developing and updating road engineering norms and standards, and developing a road asset management system policy and guidelines. So if you look at the engineering standards and norms, there are different creative people that seek to develop those kinds of standards which are not really talking to the issue of quality assurance. So that is what we want to do. We are meeting with different people on some kind of this, like the CSIR, APIMO South Africa, in terms of standards and uniformity as a country, so that we think from the same input and develop a long-lasting network, if being in the rural areas, that is low cost to have what you see. That is what we're wanting to achieve. So thank you very much, my acting DG and my honorable chair.
Thank you,
Chair.
And she was then asked Mr. Twyla, who is the VP for Aviation, to assess us on those program 5 and program 6 in the absence of the VP Maritime Legal Cover Work. Before the addresses are coming, I'm going to make the addresses are from but you will need an explanation on certain systems to why you don't have the features to think about it. Let him be with his problem.
Takže on robíte nemá prostě počul chodit chodit. Ty si dáš na to, že basically framed on four deliverables. And the first one is safety for children environment. For anything cost, whether you want to lower the transport cost, if you have this brain in place, you should be covered. Second one is our contribution to economic development of this country, which works around the skills development and the infrastructure of this country in terms of population. The third will be the international commitment, where we deal with our continent, SADC, and the International Civilization Organization. And the fourth will be the amendment of the Act and other policies that we have. And in doing this, the first section deals with enhanced safety within aviation sector by improvement the quality and credibility of accident and incident investigation through the establishment of an independent accident and incident investigation board. The ICAO standard requires that the kind of accident investigation in the same component in civil aviation authority. Because at the end of the day, if an accident happened, they may come up and say civil aviation did not do what was expected of them. So they've got to be independent. So this has been established to be more focus of our funding for the second one is to improve aviation safety security and continually through compliance with existing new standards and recommended practices of international civil aviation organization and the federal administration's international aviation safety assessment and through ongoing oversight South African Civil Aviation Authority air traffic and navigation services and airport company. Basically this is the regime, international regime that South Africa complies to. And in this particular year, ICAO is coming to audit South Africa. So basically it's going to tell the world whether South Africa complies or is the safe destination for aviation. In terms of what we're doing now, we've asked for a pre-audit which has been completed, and in July we're waiting for ICAO validation mission to come in. And within a week we should have results of our effect. Next one is ensure effective and integrated economic infrastructure by concluding consultative processes of national airport development plan and obtaining approval for implementation in 2014. As you would know, we've got the Accra airport and we've got airports outside Accra, which were originally from the Bantustan. Then we have other effective airports that are underutilized from different towns and cities. So this plan seeks to look at how can we make these airports first of all safe. That's the first point of call. The second one, how can we work around these airports to stimulate economic activity around these airports? There's a new concept that is around the world now of airport cities, or what they call aeropropolis, where around the city, a huge economic activity begins to develop. And we need this in these airports, particularly those that have very good infrastructure that were left by different homelands and which are underutilized. So this plan seeks to address that, and this is the plan that we think will contribute towards creating jobs and making sure that the economic activities in those areas do function. The next one is the policy that we would want by end of this financial year to conclude the national aviation, civil aviation policy, which is going to guide us as to whoever works within the aviation sector knows exactly what guidelines we have. in some instances, conversations do come into place because of the policies outdated and the old policies. So we want to get a policy that will guide everyone so that they know exactly where we're going in terms of our mission. Then also part of what we were supposed to do in terms of our activities, be it ACSA, Civil Aviation Authority, or ATMS, to ensure that we promote development of aviation. A development of aviation would move us into a sector of the unmanned aviation that we have in South Africa. So developing that sector also contributes to economic development. The spending basically, which is aimed at ensuring that the four basic principles are accomplished, will be to developing the relevant legislation and monitoring and evaluation, evaluating its implementation to ensure that aviation safety, security, and monitoring performance of the aviation public entity. One of the things that we want to accomplish during this financial year is to ensure that we are able to measure aviation contribution of aviation to the environment. How much are we emitting and how to measure it and moving forward? And among other things, so in terms of our plan by December, we would ask certain type of aeroplanes or aircraft to stop operating in South Africa. Our research has shown that we only have two on our radar. And these are the ones that use a lot of fuel and also produce a lot of emission and noise. And we want to begin scaling them down. And this could be an issue that is discussing widely with the portfolio committee and our politicians, because in some areas in the continent they use their craft in flying into our country. Also there's a regulating committee that has been established. This year it will be the first year where the permission for ATMS and ACSA will be forwarded. This body then seeks to regulate the tariffs, the charges that ACSA is going to charge for auto operators, that ATMS is going to charge to operators. So this is the year where this will be done. And this is a crucial year in terms of us lowering the cost of doing business and also the cost of transport. In terms of major projects which are outlined here, they are projects that will be fulfilling the objectives that we have outlined. The first one obviously is the regulating committee, the permission. The second one, the oversight, exercising of oversight. And oversight, exercising of oversight, it means ensuring that our pilots are properly trained, that the airports are in a good state for aircraft to land. And also the air traffic control that we are able to ensure that the congestion that we have on our airspace and also the general control of safety purposes is accomplished. Also there's the issue of regulation. In this particular year we're putting forward a proposal to amend South African Civil Aviation Act, which makes it very difficult to establish an independent accident investigation for startups. And second, it's an act that contracts with the Public Finance Management Act. So among the regulations that we will be putting forward will be the amendment of Civil Aviation Act. In Gauteng, there's an issue of congested aircraft, particularly within civilians, where people who are operating within Nigeria, the proximity with Swartkop and Wonderborn poses a safety hazard. So Gauteng is reviewing the congested airspace so that it can be used optimally and effectively by all the road players. And the last but not least will be the NATP, the Airport Development, National Airport Development Plan. And the last will be the independent accident investigation, which will be done before the officers come in July. And basically, the budget that we have is budget of 140 million, which will cover basically what we have outlined and other activities that we are undertaking during this year. financial year. For aviation, those are the issues that are difficult.
You said the
Ministry
of Finance?
149 million. Yes, so I'm the same fee to 136.
Thank you for that explanation. I have never once made the input that Parliament is the highest decision in the Chinese country. And we would want to work in a harmonious manner. But he has, even in the past, indicated that we were observing some level of disrespect of Parliament from the department when it comes to presentation to Parliament. Where in situations where we would be expecting a DG to come and make a presentation, the junior official would pitch up. And in some situations, we would be expecting a particular DG to come and make a presentation representing his or her program. Then again, another DG would chip in and send in for that particular DG. And it doesn't go down well on us. Particularly if we have not been made aware in advance that there are no changes that are going to be made. And with this particular decision, I have personally been open to that. That she would either not sit through the whole presentation, even if it is a summit, she would not sit through the whole summit on my time. I will be in that summit and aim for the duration of the summit. But this particular decision would not do that. And the responsibility of the DG in a department is to ensure that the staff below the DG is also held accountable and monitored in terms of their performance. It should not be us who are actually identifying that they are under the performance of a particular DG. Without the DG, the DG identifying that. The responsibility of the DG is not to protect an underperforming junior. It is to hold that junior accountable. And I would appreciate this matter being attended to. They accept that they should be deployed in another jurisdiction. We accept that that is the issue. We will not accept that she behaves differently from other jurisdictions like it has been happening in the past.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not informed of any misperformance or lack of proper performance by Ms. Tamiya Fakira. These details could be provided to my office. I will recently act on that. According to the records presently, she is 100% treated exactly the same as all the other deputies. And this particular assignment today is of very high level of importance to the country.
We accept the assignment today. The point that we are making is that we are also expected to be informed in advance, and we are saying we'll be making our own observation.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will give Mr. Twyla to the paper. Thank you.
Thank you again, Honourable Chair, members of the Council of Committee, colleagues. This year, what is my year of my time? I think Chair, something is going well. So come within my time during this day. Oh, I'm just going well. I'm saying we should have made a theme for this year being declared the year of my time. So that we can promote South Africa as an effective and essential shipping destination to all people. Yes. And also move away.
Yes.
But it was intentional to promote maritime and their activities in South Africa and their contribution to our economy. Before going to court, speaks to the safety and secure and environmentally friendly, efficient maritime transport in the industry. And in achieving that, we are going to finalize the maritime transport policy and legislation, which will outline policy position on economic drivers in the maritime transport sector through consultation with stakeholders. This they hope to finish by year 2014. The second is the enhance economic development by developing maritime shipping policy by the end of 2014. That will provide framework for promoting businesses such as shipping, recycling, ship maintenance, repair within the maritime transport. As you would know, as much as the number of ships that dock or don't go on our shore, there's so many of them. So there is an opportunity there to develop the repair center. And I think TGA is doing that, but there's a bigger opportunity that this ship will pass through South Africa even if they are not coming to dock on our ship. So there's an opportunity to develop a very viable repair center for our own economic development. The next one is to improve and reduce the number of accidents and incidents. And they are saying here, during the last 2 years, there were 19 and 16, that were 19 accidents and 68 incidents. Obviously, normally this is compared with international standards and benchmark and see how far we are, how safe the destination we are. So the intention during this financial year is to improve the number of incidents and accidents that happen in the maritime sector. The presentation on roads did speak to the Millennium Goals of Development, where there was a target set up. Now with the target of the next 10 years, where we need to reduce the current accident rate by 50%. And I think all modes of transport need to align themselves in making sure that the incident and incident are reduced in the interest of saving property and lives of people. And these 19 accidents and 68 accidents happened in 2012. based on maritime casualties reflected in 2011 and 12, South African Maritime Safety Authority annual report regarding small vessels by 40% implementing the inland waterway strategy. So there is a strategy that not only deals with the ships in the sea, but also with waterways, where the number of incidents that are normally recorded. And also to improve maritime security and assist in managing safety and security by drafting and signing the memoranda of understanding with the relevant stakeholders in maritime security by March 2014. And normally there's an obligation from international maritime organizations that there should be an agreement between two states or two countries and regions where they're going to cooperate in terms of ensuring that there is security. There's a distinction between safety and security, but security is avoiding what happened in aviation in 9/11. And the last is to ensure that opportunities for adequate training and skilling of the service are done. And so this is done by completing relevant bilateral and multilateral agreements and drafting legislation on working conditions and protection of the rights of seafarers in the international waters by 2014. As you would know, that a while ago there was a seafarer, which was South African, that had an accident in the waters, I think, of Romania or something. So there's a standard, a protocol by international maritime organization that set out as to what conditions the seafarers are supposed to be working. As also you know that maritime DCM with the SAFR Gala, they'll be working in conjunction with Tanzania to have a group of seafarers that will be exposed to the practical work in the sea. So in doing that, there's going to be protocols and standards that are going to protect the people working on those. And the focus of the expenditure, that's the next page 19. Over the medium term will be on ensuring that maritime safety, security and environmental protection, legislation and economic regulation are implemented. So basically in this year of maritime, this will be the focus of the budget expenditure. And major projects that are implicit. The first one is finalizing the consultation process on the draft of maritime policy over the medium term and obtain approval from Cabinet. The second is to oversee the development of a ship clearance system. The next one is developing integrated skills development program, the training of officers and other skills within the industry. And the other one is developing and maintaining and monitoring the implementation of a coastal shipping plan supported by the development of a South African shipping rate. This is a very important aspect in terms of maritime, because for us to increase the number of ships that are registered within South Africa, we need to ensure that we make it very easy for them to come on board and register so that we can be able to control them. And the last one is developing the policy framework for shipbuilding and maintenance, which is an opportunity to create more jobs and skill our people in ensuring that they were in this particular field. I thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chief. And then I would like to request from Okoyama that the need for public comment for to take up to the program.
How I wish that in
then if you take it to that, I think this, the information provided should therefore be together with what we present at the first-time workshop, mainly because this is what we submitted that we were going to request for money. But I think we were much more clearer on the first day, and I'll try to clarify certain issues. But in terms of program objectives, campus, and we want to improve access and mobility in by introducing RRTP and the integrated public transport network. The president talked about transit cities. We have what the cities that have been judged because of to make conferences. And then monitoring and evaluation of the progress in that regard. But also ensuring integrated and optimized public transport services by facilitating the development of RRTP in six municipalities by 2014-15. So the transits and the six municipalities are those that are affected in the public transport strategy. And then I also show the effective public transport by establishing the NPTR, which I'm happy to announce that it is now set. We are setting up systems and ensuring that it is operational without a delay. But also develop the increased equity ownership and broad-based will be E in the public transport space through developing the small industries like the taxis and the small bus operators. By way of a cooperative plan or cooperative strategy, that should therefore be operational much later than 2014-15. It is actually a challenge for this current year. Align and integrated test to recap program with national and provincial ways basically public transport services including RRTP and some corridors and provincial bus services, the ones that we all know, the Golden Arrow, the GMT, the Carcos, by going the test to recap and assess this alignment with broad mainstream public transport in terms of the process. We are in the middle of very far ahead in terms of the doing this review. We definitely want to come and present our thoughts and options going forward in terms of the one test of the program, as we know it, but also to the transformation of the public transport in general, based on two key principles, that of transformation, breaking down of monopolies, and integrated, making sure that even taxis and small bus operators participate in the so-called subsidized transport environment. And ensure the improved school transport systems and services by developing monthly standards and guidelines in this current financial year. In this earlier term, what we are assuming is that the policies have been finalized and also at the final stages. In fact, from our side, the technocrats, we have done almost everything. It is now into the approval process. But this year, the next step is therefore based on that, the policy principles of framework, develop nonsense standards. Minimum requirements and guidelines to ensure that there's uniformity standardization in the provision of solar transport services. Major challenges in terms of this program change was basically three grants. Now there were two. I will explain. The one grant is the public transport operational grant, which is what we call a bus subsidy. The second grant, which is now being split into two, is the public transport infrastructure assistance grant. That takes care of the integrated public transport network in major cities, RRTM, or if we like the BRTs. But this one is now being split because I think what we have experienced in tourism, yeah, customer, yeah, so that's it. It's not just the reliable cost of access. There is also the therefore a need to deal with operational cost associated with the two examples being the what we are doing in Johannesburg and Cape Town, the YMI region. Now, further agreed to put a portion of the grant aside for operations, and there is a new grant called Public Transport Network Operations Grant. And it operates only in the network. And then what LinkedIn also indicates is that Johannesburg has just completed phase two. It is due to be launched very, very soon. They are waiting for buses. The phase one has been the 40 kilometers from Kabola Park, in Soweto, through to Ellis Park via Bramford bus station, as we know it. And then the second one that is operational is the MyCity called Milestone Zero. They are now going to full steam and phase one, which will also be operational this year. The target is, I think we've exceeded the target of 36,000 last year was 43. And then we announced it in my 43 in Johannesburg and around 30 in Cape Town. And then the only other cities circles there are those that are still busy with the completed the operational plans. They are now preparing beats and everything else associated with that to start with construction. Fire has already started. There is a station very close to the Hudson station in Hudson. That is the final DRC station. And then Rustenburg has also started with construction. Nelson Mandela Bay has still been operating the Central Budget Board for 2010. But I will explain the issues around Nelson Mandela and Mangaung. According to APRA, in the some 4 years ago, they were on par with Johannesburg and Cape Town. They since regressed a bit. That is why in our plan, when we talk incubation, those are the two cities that we are going to monitor very closely and intervene very directly. Because the minister is going to Nelson Mandela Bay on the 24th to appraise himself of the development there, but also see how we can therefore intervene in terms of sorting out the issues in Nelson Mandela Bay. The issues are not necessarily structural or project related, but there are more issues around governance, which we believe we could be able to. Continuing some of the major expenditures, the policy on coral transport, like I indicated, is now finalized at one. We are now starting with the development of standards and operational guidelines. It is not approved yet. When I say finalized, I don't necessarily mean approved. It cannot be approved before it comes here. But internally, in terms of the administrative process, in terms of putting down a new with input that we got from among others, this committee. We have dialed with that one. We are more than ready to come in and present the final draft. We have also started the process of gathering team for the final team one day. And then, assist them whether this is a legislative requirement, but was reached to do serious assessment around capacity to resources and go through the appropriate intergovernmental approval process before this is done. So that is not necessarily, I think, another thing that brings great mind that we are inviting on a process to just assess the impact of the what this provision in the legislation is saying. And then the next bullet talks to the issues around the fiscal gap in terms of what are really the figures, the amount, on average, that we are able to collect. For some reason, the figures are going down. There's a very little effort anymore that should bring that into credit. But we have assessed them, and like I say, we've done the visible. We have made our own assessment and what comes up, and very strongly so, is the issue around affordability of the new vehicles. The money, the cost money is no longer enough. But also the incentives on the part of the financial institution. So that extent, they still see the taxi industry as a risky business. They still demand 75% deposit, which cannot and will never be covered by the 63,100. So those are some of the challenges, and we believe that is the becoming a deterrent in terms of people coming forward to cross taxes because they will be out of business going forward. But the other issue is that this figure, as much as we can go and mark on and make the price and add the figure, but even the financial allocation allows us to deal with the figure around 7,500. But it's going very, very slowly. The audited figures for craft safety were at 6,394. That has been cut financially as it has gone back. That's evident in some of the major issues that we want to mind that this committee would support as heavy for this current financial year, which is in the region of trying to look at the figures. But I think as the third point that the DG has asked, there will definitely be the figures a problem. Oh, that's not this is just a grant money only. That is really everything else. Thanks, Chairperson. That is the program public transport.
Thank you, Chairperson. So thank you, Mr. Mokunama. We will then move to the next slide, which is starting to deal with the particulars on the medium-term budget. Chairperson, on behalf of we need to also position ourselves in the MTS process, and there are certain members to budget allocations
thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Director, Acting Director General and Colleagues. I'll take you through the medium term budget. The figures, we have the items we will take you through, the amendments to the items. Summary of budget, compensation of employees, goods and services, transfer payments, and then we'll look at some specific transfer payments as well. The amendments to the budget allocations, if you look on the very top line in this, this is for this current medium-term expenditure budget period, spanning from 2013-14 through to 2015-16. The previous allocations, that was in the previous MPEF period, were 41.7 billion, 48.066 billion, and 50.277 billion. These are additional funds allocated to the baseline. There were some adjustments to the baseline and some adjustments to conditional grants. I think what's important is the word baseline, both on additional funds and adjustments to baseline. The baseline is that we end up with is virtually secure to continue with an inflation factor. So these additional funds will continue, and the cuts that happen will also be perpetuated into the next budget. So, for instance, where we experience budget cuts, we will not jump back to previous figures. The cuts will continue. Importantly, we highlighted there some of the major adjustments. There were additional adjustments for rolling stock for the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, 250 million, and then an additional 3.15 billion, but also the further down the line adjustments to baseline, a reduction of 4 billion. So effectively, that project has been cut by 848 million in 2014-15, and then there was an additional 1.6 billion for rolling stock in 2015-16. This program will continue, as I mentioned earlier on, with a 40 billion rand over 10 years, but the 40 billion will grow with the inflation adjustment of the with inflation adjustment. South Africa National Roads Agency capital is growing in 2014-15 by 714 million and by 736 million in 2015-16. In fact, this capital was allocated for the additional roads that the South African National Roads Agency has taken over from the Eastern Cape and from the Northwest Province, as indicated on slide 13. So this does not effectively increase the normal capital allocation. It covers for the amounts taken over, the roads taken over by Sonneville from provinces. But additional funding was allocated to Sonneville for operations, 156 million, 240 million, and 295 million. I'll just highlight some other smaller additional allocations. Going back to on top, we were allocated an additional 21, 22, and 23 million over the period for compensation of employees, right on top. And then for search and rescue services, for civil aviation, we were allocated 29.7 million, 51 million, and 32.8 million. This is for replacement of equipment, of infrastructure to facilitate the watchkeeping services, for search and rescue services. At the bottom, there were some adjustments to conditional grants. The rural road asset management grant grows by quite a margin. We'll look at the graph later on. And provincial road maintenance grant is also enhanced by 155 million, 173 million, and 409 million. In total, the budget grows by 1.37%, 0.33% and 6.17%. If you look at the summary of the budgets over the medium term, and we included a comparative figures for 2012-13. This excludes the adjusted budget for comparative purposes. You can see the allocations of the major items: compensation of employees, goods and services, transfers and subsidies, the bulk of the budget, and machinery and equipment, which is essentially internal of the department's furniture, fitting, and computer equipment and purchases. The percentage year-on-year growth, compensation of employees grows strongly because of additional posts that were allocated. Transfers and subsidies in total also grow strongly. And then making up percentage of the total at the bottom, you can see in 2012-13, for instance, transfers and subsidies made up 97.8% of the total budget. So the internal budget for the department is 2.2%, but the percentage of transfer payments grows steadily, although by a small margin, over the medium term. This is an interesting analogy. If one looks at 2012-13, the 38.8 billion rand allocated to the department, if one looks at this, if one had to spend that amount per day, every day, over 365 days, one would spend 106.3 million per day. The internal budget in that scenario makes up 8 days of the 365 days of the budget. It's an interesting way to look at it. A compensation of employee budget grows from 316 million to 333 million, excluding improvements in conditions of service, a big growth of 12.8% due to additional posts allocated. On this slide, we list all the additional posts that were allocated, mainly for oversight over public entities and public and conditional grant monitoring. A goods and services budget over the medium term. We show the 2012 allocation, additional funds for search and rescue services, and then the budget cuts. There are budgets were cut by 11, 21, and 32 million over the period. There were some funds shifted away from goods and services into transfer payments. And we had some final allocation, which grew by 5.5, 3.7, and 2.8%. If we exclude the additional funds allocated for search and rescue services, the nominal amount by which the goods and services grow actually reduced by 0.2, 1.9, and 2.9%. These amounts exclude inflation. So if one add, one can add the inflation rate on top of that to measure the actual effect that this will have on the department. But I think, in a way, the message that the Treasury is sending us says they are quite willing to increase our internal compensation of employees, our internal capacity, and reduce the amount that we spend outside the control. The transfer payment budget, the message here per program, the largest the areas of largest growth are highlighted there. In administration, we make transfers to the Transport, Education and Training Authority, also to a number of universities, for transport-related studies. In rail transport, the Railway Safety Regulator budget grows by a large margin, 18% and 10%. There were additional allocations for the national information management system allocated to the Railway Safety Regulator. As we mentioned earlier, the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, its capital is still growing by a huge margin over the medium term. Road transport, the Road Traffic Management Corporation budget grew by 102.6%. A bit more than double because of allocations for the National Traffic Police, funding the National Traffic Police. The Road Traffic Infringement Agency budget jumps from 5 million in the last financial year to 25 million and then drops to 15 million. The jump is being able to become fully operational to implement their systems, and when they implement the systems, they will be able to better generate revenue, and therefore the allocation will be dropped. The Rural Road Asset Management Grant also grows strongly by 40%, from 37 million to 52 million, as 7 more cities are added to this grant. And the current growth of current allocations to SANRAL is growing strongly, as well. well as the capital, but because of the additional roads that they've taken over from Poland. In the area of civil aviation, the transfer to South African Civil Aviation Authority grows by 13%, but it's because of the Civil Aviation Day allocation that is added there, and the African Civil Aviation Commission's budget is also growing by a huge margin, but this is because of the new static safety and security membership that was introduced in the last year. Some other grants and smaller transfers are listed here. The other agencies, the South African Maritime Safety Authority, the Maritime Rescue Coordination Centre, which is managed by SAMHSA, some non-profit institutions, search and rescue organisations who assist when search and rescue operations take place, are receiving some grants. And in the area of maritime transport, they have a port regulator and then international membership fee. In the area of public transport, they have the public transport operations grant, or bus subsidy, growing only by an inflation factor. We've had this problem for many, many years, and we are again facing the problem of funding, because we really need additional funding to transform the public transport operations grants, the public transport grants, and will be in the new budget submission a strong motivation for additional funding. Taxi scrapping is also moving with inflation. As you've seen, the numbers have been reducing, and you see this funding being introduced into the public transport operations grant later on. The public transport network operations grant was introduced this year, but it really came out of the public transport infrastructure grant. That grant was split to make provision for operational expenditure, and together these grants still grow by a strong 11% in the first financial year, in 2013-14. Just to look at some of the major allocations in the graphical format, Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, you can see how the capital portion of the transfer payments grow in relation to the current portion. Capital has continued to grow very, very strong over the period, and even historically. The transfer payments to Sonoran have also grown strongly. The capital portion at the bottom continues to grow strongly. The current portion, we see the gap increasing over the medium term as additional funding was allocated. Some capital was allocated for coal haulage starting in 2011-12 and continuing to grow. And there is a lump once-off allocation for the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project. We in 2011-12 treasury allocated an additional 5.75 billion to Sonoran, but that was a once-off. But you can still see how the allocation grows relatively to each other. This yellow portion represents the capital allocation to Sonoran, the amounts that are earmarked for capital expenditure. The light blue represents operational funding or current funding. That is not the internal cost of Sonoran, it includes road maintenance expenditure. The purple portion there represents additional funding allocated for coal mining to Sonoran. This is for Sonoran to also assist with the coal haulage road, although as part of the provincial road maintenance grant, there are also allocations for the Co-Holland grant, and that lump there is really, because it's an area slide, that lump represents a once-off allocation of 5.75 billion for the Gauteng freeway improvements. The provincial road asset management grant, one can also see how the grant has grown over the years, from 4 billion that was introduced in 2019 to nearly 9 billion at the end of this medium term period. You also see that when the Coal Haulage grant was introduced in 2011-12, growing slightly over the medium term. And then there was some disaster relief funding, but that gets allocated from time to time as there are disasters. The rural road asset management system grant, as you can see, it dropped in 2011, and then it had a strong growth in 2011-12, fairly flat for the last financial year, and then it grows strongly over the medium term to accommodate the additional seven municipalities. This slide shows the public transport infrastructure, operations and network grant. The public transport infrastructure and systems grant represented by the yellow area at the bottom. The public transport network operations grant, shown there in grey, these two actually goes together. The network operations grant was taken out of the public transport infrastructure grant to make provision for operations, and then the public transport operations grant is shown there in blue, and you can see that the public transport operations grant has mainly grown with inflation over the period, and the public transport infrastructure and public transport network operations grant has grown strongly historically and is continuing to grow at least in the first year of the medium term by a factor about double the inflation factor, and will continue with the inflation factor over the medium term. So that concludes the presentation on the budget. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now
lovely colored chart showing how, in fact, the road
money. Can I already have a budget? This is additional money because they've been given additional responsibility. Has Treasury allocated Panel a bigger budget for these additional roads, or has this money been shifted from another program? Must one know that it's shifted from another program for Panel, or whether Panel allocation is being increased by Treasury to deal with these extra roads? And I think I just have one more check question, and then
without a car, that's expected them on a daily basis.
then how is that going to affect in keeping the budget on our own? And we've been singing this song as a popular company that maybe if there could be a probation on new trials, and most of the incidents that are happening on our own are caused by smaller than a car, which are caused by our kids who have just been employed. They love fish, and they are the ones that get involved in accidents. So why don't we put some measures, drastic measures, to ensure that these accidents are minimized on our own? And also we can say that the protocol is that maybe with the cup, there are black boxes that I can see that in such as in the aerospace. So why can't we have such things in the cars that are being manufactured specifically? Because I managed to experience what RTMC used to say in their presentation on a daily basis, that when you travel at night around 7 to 10 o'clock or midnight on weekends, you are likely to get involved in an accident. On the 5th of May, I happened to be on the road from Malalani to Nelson, just around the Ecosystem. And it was so scary the way people are driving on our roads during the night. And with this car, and not related to this protocol, but the fact that those cars are registered with a holding and respect numbers and not where and for this. Yeah, you could say that something somewhere is wrong within the department in those provinces. Then you wonder how these people manage to drive from Gauteng maybe to Maputo, and now they're going back to Gauteng or Northwest. They are the ones that are causing accidents on our own, especially on the airport. I know for a fact that most of the cars that get involved in the accidents on the airport
the airport, but all the Any thoughts about that to your chapter to improve that situation?
or what would be our application?
And one problem here is not a problem, but I'm glad to be able to do this that department are coming from the other program. That's only in terms of financial.
Thank you, Kate. Well, maybe we could start with one of the last remarks made about the budget itself. If we look at the budget this summer, we are talking about just under 42 million. And if we then exclude all the transfer payments, and the transfer payments will be with regard to the entities, it will be with regard to the various grants and guidelines, etc., we are basically left with just over 940 million, which the department will have to do everything else in this manner. But that effectively implies, Jefferson, that the oversight of all these transfer payments has to be high. Hence, we have reasons our best to obtain additional capacity approval from Treasury, and that is why it's in the slide. We've got additional positions and also the focused approach that the department will now take to really capacitate the department. But it's not only the transfer action, it's also the monitoring of the report, the implementation of proper control, so the whole risk area that needs to be managed. So that's in just that, it's taking a lot of time from the department. But that is critical if you look at that line of the budget. Jefferson, with your permission, I would like to suggest that we put the CFO to first deal with the financial issues, after which we will provide opportunities to the particular mode question.
Thank you, Jay. The first question, if we look at the amendments to budget allocation under the amendments to budget allocation, are additional funding allocated to SANRAL, the 714 and the 736 million was allocated to SANRAL in addition to its normal allocation. For to take over those roads from the provinces. It's also mentioned on slide 13, but it may well be that the money was taken away from provinces. In the past, SANRAL took over roads without money at all. And I think in this case, the National Treasury allocated their money.
So you don't know whether
it's
taken away from the
province? No, we don't. That would be within the provincial budget. It would be the way that the provincial presidents allocate funds, but the national presidents allocated additional funds to some of full income. Then, on slide 50, I think it would be the transfer payments to Samsung. The additional or the allocation, the growth from 3.1 million in 2012-13 to the 6.4 million in 2013-14, showing that huge growth, is really a correction of a previous budget cut. I have a figure here. In 2011-12, the budget of Samsung was cut from 7.6 million in 2011-12 to 3.3 million in 2012-13. This was due to budget cuts. There was a perception by the Treasury that Samsung had enough money, and they cut Samsung's budget. So this 104% is really a bit of a correction of the budget of SAMHSA. We've shown comparative figures on most of the slides for 2012-13, but not on the very first slide, because the first slide just shows the amendments from the previous baseline down to the new base, the new baseline budget. And so I didn't mention, unfortunately, the figures in brackets are negative, so they are reductions to the budget. And the other slide we showed, as far as possible, comparatives for 2012-13, and excluding the adjusted budget to facilitate comparison. Yes, and the year-on-year growth. If we go back, we go into a new baseline figure. As I mentioned, those cuts and additional amounts continue. If we stop, for instance, at 2015-16, with the total allocation, what Treasury normally does, it adds an indicative inflationary figure to the outer year's budget to inform the new year's budget. For instance, if we go into the next year's medium-term expenditure framework, they will take the total figure, 2013-14 will be the current year, then the next 3 years will be obviously 2014-16, 2015-16, 2016-17, and they will add to the total figure an inflationary factor. For, as an example, if you look at the goods and services figure, it was cut, and unless budgets are cut again, we will be allocated to 593 million plus an inflationary adjustment as the baseline going forward. If Treasury continues with budget cuts, then they will continue with budget cuts. That explains how the year-on-year budget is. Thank you. I think I've answered the question on the budget.
Thank you, Chairperson. Many have a quick transport and then roads.
Chairperson, there was just one question on the recap. The revenue gap, and what we were highlighting were some of the findings that resulted from the review. Now, in terms of options going forward, the likelihood of us having to match the astronomical request for deposit is not there. Then what therefore then requires us to do is to look at alternatives in terms of access to the tax and that. Now that we are saying, the time is really now that we need to integrate all these modes in terms of public transport. And just borrowing from the inner comments in the committee, target the user, the passenger, and no longer target the operator. Now, if you look at how we calculate the passenger in current form, which very soon call for the transport subsidies, we do factor in the capital portion of the airplane in particular, but not to an extent of 100%. So we contribute for the depreciation of the airplane as part of the operations of the cost of transport services. So in that regard, you would therefore have covered or tried to circumvent some of the problems that the tax recap, which is purely capital type of subsidy, poses onto the operator. The one challenge you have is therefore that as you go forward, you need to get these people to a serious mind change of having to own a company, no longer be accountable services, and then taking money. عن البعيد بعد الناس شوية اللي في البيت whether it's weekly or under the van. These are some of the challenges that an obstacle that we need to come at. But the benefits are huge. One of the options is to the formation of the individual into cooperatives and then prepare them to participate into public transport on that, which would have included unbundling of all of the monopolies. Now, the subsidy, that kind of subsidy, which is a purely operational subsidy, sets up in the repayment of the VIACA. We contribute to the repayment of the VIACA. So, we want to believe that we are on the right track in terms of that. The long and short is that TRISTER has in its current form is not necessarily helping. There are a number of unintended consequences, which we have studied over this first phase of the TRISTER plan. Going forward, those are some of the improvements that we want to slot in. Maybe perhaps I want to share my personal words on the black boxes in the other two. That was the record house in particular. And in the main, it would be conversation between the pilot and the control group in terms of what is happening in the aircraft. Now, what is key there in terms of accident analysis is what would have been the communication just before the incident. Now, in the motor vehicle, it's highly unlikely that you'll find the person communicating with the other. On the contrary, you don't even want to produce that phone. So, as a result, the black box, because it records that, could only record messages correctly. But the question is, I want to put the context. It's actually quite easy to reconstruct an accident on the road using other methods, like going there to inspect and the crashes and how the vehicle is damaged and the impact and so forth. It is quite easy using that because there are marks either on the road space or on the surrounding. So that's why I wanted to mention that the black box records out and the critical part that we want to establish is whether what was the conversation this day prior to the
moment. If I may come in. Several times mentioning the black box was just an example. What I wanted to say was that something, technology is more advanced than this, something that might tell the behavior of the driver before the accident or leading to the accident, something like that.
This is that we have a presentation here in front of the camera that would record the behavior of the driver, which even if there was no traffic cop when that driver was reporting, when the traffic cop stops that car and then attaches his computer to the equipment that is fitted in the car, which has recorded because of the camera. Then you download all the violations that have been done by the, and you were presented with that.
Our view
was that you being served on their own. The drivers who are using those roads on a daily basis know where those cameras are. And as a result, they would reduce the speed when they approach the camera, and after that, they would increase the speed. So we were then looking at instruments that would deter drivers from committing traffic violations when there are no police, because people are not even wearing a seatbelt. They wear a seatbelt when they see the traffic cop.
Those that are becoming better.
because they were in a worse situation. Whereas on the Sunrise network, the network that Sunrise was recorded before, they were mandated to look after an adequate network, so to say, although the previous government had not been looking after those networks adequately. But what was inherited by the new government was a road infrastructure that was adequate, which needed maintenance, standards was then mandated to look after. An inadequate network that needed to be improved, which is the secondary school. And then the non-existent network, where a Kumbi would have gone, because the community that is residing there, and then through the will of a taxi that has been transporting those people, a network developed, which has not been on the map. That is what he's talking about.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I think I wouldn't go that much to the detail. I think we have to say a lot, but that's the cut on that. Maybe on the issue of the other expenditure, honorable Dangote, I think we are monitoring the other expenditure very seriously because the vendor is huge up there. So there's no excuse of any other expenditure when it comes to the one matter. So including the target that needs to be achieved through job creation, so we make sure that we can achieve those targets. I think, that's why we are building a team in our national office to assist the province to achieve the agreed upon target for the year, so that we don't fall short in terms of that. So we may be part of the task. We're just doing the gap. You saw the DC was presenting compensation to employees and staff on the road component, so we have been doing a prioritizing those targets. Also in the workshop, we did indicate that we are doing those here. So I think if we are on the right track, we will get there to make sure that this the Hammer Soccer funding to turn around the poorest road to much more better roads, which are more on the road. So that is what we are doing. So that's why the rest are short. In terms of the road haulage with ESCOM and Transnet, it's quite an exercise. Mawetu, on integrated transport, will talk to the issue of the branch lines and the details in terms of what are we doing with the status of the branch lines. We have done that in the whole country in terms of what are the branch lines in terms of what are we doing about that. So now it's a matter of but checking those kind of discussions to say, are they ready enough to take this kind of challenge? Or do we have to move the cargo from our road network to rail? I think that is a process that we are embarking on very seriously. And good work has been done by my colleague Mawetu and JP on that matter. So I think we are working very closely on this matter. So maybe Mawetu would like to add on something on this.
Thank you. I think from the side, that what we've done, we're in a position to deal with the shift that is required in a number of exercises. The first one, we now have, we can finalize the road safety study, where we have identified the number of communities, coal, that they need to move from road to the legislature, and the legislature for that. So that's the first exercise. But the second exercise is that, as Chris is commenting, we've been engaging with Transnet because the shift can't just happen. The Transnet investment must be targeted to also look at the corridor where the huge challenge. Let's take Macho as an example. Because remember, before the Macho was teaching was again the mine, you had around 12 million tons of coal. That was at the end of the year. 10 million of that is now on the rail also there are a number of exercises where it takes time, but these things are beginning to bear fruit. This was the effort that begins to bear fruit. Balance of transport. And to an extent, I mean, in Mpumalanga, we call for the national trunk. We brought in ESCOM to the field. ESCOM they put in the kitchen. So there are a number of collaborative efforts that are being put in. But by and large, that you require a number of interventions to help manage the same department.
Thank you. I would like to say that to thank you for the presentation and the guarantee that has been given to the question. And there are just a few comments that I would like to make. And starting with that. Let our process page 14. From where I sit, I think I'm happy to say that there is a good target of how many teachers are on the Bible scale by 2013 to 2014. For the simple commitment to that part, we require the 400 that we have at the stage. And it is has been the one in the backup that we will not see any movement which are related to the target. Also on bullet number 2, the issue of general training not much in the course. The end product of the driver who is being on the road and also who does not respect other road users can be trained back to the training program. When I was being trained as a driver, I was never told how to respect that driver. That I got from my own brother. But the issue that we are making is that training, taking the training manual also requires the inclusion of life skills as part of the training program. But it is not numbers. The people that are in the world are not just numbers. Those are father and mother. And some people become wheelchair bound. And if there is no lasting orientation in the training course, it then becomes a problem. Because people only learn to drive. But they do not learn to respect other road users and also understand the impact of an accident in a family that loses a human being as a result of a behavior of one particular person who would have caused the accident. We were presented with a program that is operational in South Korea. And we also exported that who went to Japan this year were exposed to a driver training program that focuses specifically on safety, where they use simulators, but also particularly in Japan. They have constructed an accident in here. When they described that accident, we tried, but we were not
not in the epidemic, but the manner in which it was explained and you are exposed to it. As part of the orientation to the person who is going to be checked as a driver, truck driver, or a car driver, makes that person realize the importance of driving in a respectful manner. And my input in that is that let us not only change the driver training manual, let us change the program and decide whether we want to teach people to drive or we want to teach to produce safe drivers that we know, people who will not commit an accident. The third one that I've been exposed to is the one that happens in Los Angeles, where the training is focusing on young children at primary, at preschool level, who are the ones who will tell their mothers that they are not very good with them, and tell their parents that they, you can't train me, you can't get into the car because you have been drinking. And that has then helped to instill a culture of responsibility. And in other programs, I'm heavy also on program 7, that there is a focus on actually ensuring that the public transport subsidy begins to target the commuter, as opposed to targeting a few service providers, because not all transport modes have been subsidized, only a selective, like off-budget, meaning that the subsidy in South Africa was discriminatory against the constitution of this country, because it was based on the type of transport, not even the type of the mode, because small bus operators were not benefiting from that transport. And the government is not responsible for providing service providers the subsidy. The government is responsible, is supposed to be providing the commuters. The other sector that I'm helping with in terms of program service is the focus on cooperative development when responding to the issue of the tech industry and the small bus operator. Because in this country, there is no structure within the transport sector. That is Russia and not the cooperative structure, but the tech industry. All that it needs to happen there is to formalize it and then develop their value chain. Even the issue of the deposit could be easily addressed if one was to look at the consumer power and the money that circulates in the tech industry. We can easily form their own cooperative. And then do away with the situation where they are forever exploited by the existing financial industry, which does not have their interest at heart. And we are happy, from where I sit, we are happy that you are making these changes. Of course, it will not mean that. We are happy with everything that we have taken, that we will be making a contribution that are related to improving where we could think we need to improve. We will be deliberating on this budget and approve it for this approval on the 22nd. Thank you very much.